This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel 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 it.
Joining us here on the COVID report, we have Refilwe Tladi, a tour operator who runs her own tour operations, sharing with us how she has done during the pandemic. Thank you so much, Refilwe, for joining us here on the COVID report. And firstly, the South African tourism industry contributes billions of rand into the economy. There is no doubt that this pandemic has had devastating effects. How has your business been affected by COVID-19?
You know, the pandemic, it was so bad. You know, when you're not ready for something and then it like when you blink, then everything is on a zero, you know. You don't get any inquiries. You don't get any an opportunity to invoice. You know how much I missed sending out those invoices out to clients. So the pandemic, you know, it was so bad. It was so bad. My company literally hit a zero in a split second. The industry, the tourism industry, was affected in a massive way. You know, we were not ready for this. From tour operators, hotel owners, guest lodge owners, everybody, we were affected. We didn't have any money that was coming in. We couldn't provide. We couldn't go to the office and just try and do something else. But for some people that actually didn't put all their eggs in one basket, they could survive. And my fellow colleagues that are in the industry with myself or friends, they have survived. And I'm so grateful that we are out of it together. We are here. I'm ready to work again.
Were you able to benefit from the money government had set aside toward tourism, and if so, how so?
Yes. The money did assist us. We had to apply for the funds, and yes, most of us did apply, and then we got the funding from government, which was like we were allocated about 50,000 rand per company, but not everybody in the industry that got this fund, because you had to qualify to get it. And some people did not qualify. I don't know what criteria they used. So yeah, luckily I was one of the lucky ones. I did get the funding, the 50,000 rand. It sustained my company for a while. And then also UIF, you know, my employees got something from that as well. It was great. It was a great assistance, but it didn't, to be honest, it didn't get us very far. But it closed a bit of the gap.
That's great to hear, because we often hear on the radio show here that not many companies did qualify. So we're glad to know that some actually did. So level 2 and the allowing of interprovincial travel must have come as a welcomed news. How has business been since lockdown level 2, and what has changed for you?
You know, luckily, the nice thing, it was so exciting to get my first inquiry. You know, I was jumping up and down my house like, yay, somebody's inquiring, you know, because people are also excited to get out there. People are also excited to explore our country and to travel again. I'm so excited for that. We're not there yet, but we're gradually getting there. I'm getting those inquiries. I'm sending out invoices. Thank goodness. So it means now it's business as usual. A lot of people are still skeptical, you know, to move around, especially moving around in our vehicles, because as you know, as tour operators, we've got our own vehicles. Normally we prefer taking group tours. No, you make better money there. However, people actually prefer self-drives right now, but at least they're still inquiring via us. They're going out, whether be it day visits, be it a weekend out. We are sending out those quotations and invoices now. So I'm so grateful for level 2, you know. Things are really picking up. And eventually we will get there. We're not there yet, honestly, but yes, we're going to get there.
And in the process of getting there, we still have travel restrictions for international tourists. What impact will this have on the industry?
You know, with regards to international travel, it's actually a very tricky one, because it now proves that we were not being ridiculous when we've been requesting local rates from local tourism destinations, you know. But now they're feeling the pinch, because without tourism, without international travelers, they're only dealing with domestic travelers. And some of us as domestic travelers, we're not prepared to pay the rates that they actually charge us. So international travel, you know, companies like Sun City, for example, they delayed their opening dates because they know that most of their clients are international travelers, you know. So, but they took the risk. They opened now. Hopefully they'll survive it. But with regards to the economy of South Africa, international travel was actually boosting the economy in a massive way. But this will teach us as locals to travel more and travel our country more and enjoy our country more.
Now, what trends can we expect from the travel and tourism industry as a result of the pandemic? And what are some key changes we are going to see?
The little change that I've been picking up now is that most travelers are now preferring self-catering units. It's a different trend because normally when you go on vacation, you don't want to do anything. You know, you just want to sit down, relax, everything must be done for you. But for now, they prefer self-catering units. And our people are actually now opting for camping, funny enough, you know. People prefer camping now and hiking, you know. Hiking, people have taken a huge interest in hiking. So those are different things that I've been picking up. And we were not even used to doing this, you know. I know that proper measures are put in place due to the pandemic, you know, all the establishments. And group travels are going to be limited, you know. And funny enough, at this moment, I thought people were not going to be traveling. I thought they'll still be scared. But people are traveling. People are excited to go out there, you know. Even though, like I said before, us as tour operators, we prefer group travels, you know. But for now, they are very limited. They're very limited. People prefer going in a small group of friends, 4, 5, 6 maybe, you know. Yeah, self-catering, camping, hiking, those are the latest trends.
And how do ordinary South Africans support the industry in ensuring that it services this period?
People must continue social distancing, you know. And I'm glad that they're actually opting for small group travels, not group travels, but like, you know, family travels and stuff like that. And they're avoiding group travels. So it helps in a huge manner. And if you don't have to go anywhere, you know, literally, I see clubs and stuff like that that are open out there, but I just hope that people can avoid such, you know, avoid such. And yeah, it's good to travel, go out there, have fun, but do it in a responsible manner. They can help government by being responsible. The pandemic, this disease, it's still out there, so we have to be extra careful.
Now, you touched on this briefly earlier on, but South African tourism spots are often accused of being too expensive for locals. At a time when international travel is not possible, what is the industry doing to attract the local market? And should we be expecting an adjustment in prices?
Yeah, that's a very tough one. To be honest, some of the establishments around my area, especially in the Northwest Province, where I operate from, and also the Free State, they have come to the idea of reducing their rates, you know, to accommodate local travel. But with some companies, it's still a tricky one. It's still a battle that still needs to be fought. TBCSA has also been in talks with regards to this, and it's really a tough one because as a traveler, it's a lot of money to spend on a game drive. For example, if you have to spend 750 rands on a game drive per person, it's a lot of money. And, you know, those are the same rates that they charge the international travelers. So the sooner we win this battle, the better, because, yeah, it's hitting us bad. And now, as I've said, the establishments are feeling the pinch. And some companies, yes, they have re-looked at their rates, but, yeah, some are still... You know, I think it's just a matter of surviving. They want to survive the money that they have lost. That's why they're not coming to the game. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's a battle.
And in the speaking of surviving, how long do you think it will take to have the industry fully recovering from this pandemic? And do you believe that it can recover?
Remember, the tourism industry is the longest industry to recover. We're not there yet. We're still recovering. So my estimation will still be. For next year, people will still be wondering if they should travel or not, you know. So it means there's another whole year, you know, of safety. So I would say I'll give it another 2 years for the tourism industry to go back to where it's been. Because now the international borders are not open, because I'm sure her president is also worried that if he opens, now new things are coming into the country, you know. So to be safe, and I would say about 2 years, yeah. 2021 and 2022 most probably, and then around 2022, we'll start picking up.
And you are a proud woman in tourism. What would you say has been your biggest challenge existing in the industry?
Yeah, no. The challenge is competing with the big guys out there. You're been a challenge. You know, when you start a business, you're thinking you already have a plan where it's going or where it's heading. You know, the goals are set and stuff like that. And then once you're in it, then you feel that, yeah, this is a challenge. It's not easy, because if you, like, for example, with myself, I've got a Sprinter, I've got a Quantum and a 7-seater vehicle. And then you get somebody, this big guy with these big buses, you know. And now whenever I've got big groups, now I have to outsource the vehicles, you know. So, yeah, competition is tough out here, but I've been doing and working to the best of my ability. It's tough as a woman out there, especially as a tour operator. You know, most women in the industry, they opt for owning guest houses, guest lodges, you know, restaurants and stuff like that. And then I decided to play with the big dogs. Yeah, it's been a challenge, because as a woman, when you achieve certain things in the industry, there's always things that go around, like, she gets this because. Why can't it be because she's a hard worker, you know, she's a go-getter. She goes out there and gets what she wants, and then she comes home with it. So, yeah.
And in the same spirit, we know mothers who sell beadwork at exhibitions or Vilakazi Street. Those running B&Bs have not had any income since the beginning of the lockdown. Is there any support available that is directed at the women in tourism specifically?
Yeah. No, I'm excited to announce that the Department of Tourism, I think about two years ago, yeah, we launched a Women in Tourism forum, which has different structures in different provinces. So we've got such bodies that we belong to as women in tourism that protects us and, you know, builds us to be better. So there should be these local tourism bodies in your area as women. There is one in Gauteng, there's in Northwest, and inside Northwest we've got different districts, you know. So in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, all the provinces, we do have the Women in Tourism Forum. So if you're a woman out there and you are in the tourism industry, or your company belongs in the tourism industry, please get more information and join this forum. They help us a lot.
And speaking of women in the industry, what should be done to encourage more women to get into this multi-million rand sector? And what kind, and they should join the forum. How do they join the forum?
Okay, so now I think all the provinces, the women in tourism chapters, all the provinces, we've got a Facebook or social media handles. I know for sure we've got Facebook. So if you go to Facebook, if you're in Limpopo, go to Facebook and search Women in Tourism Limpopo. It will pick up Women in Tourism Mpumalanga. Same goes for Northwest and other provinces as well. Just go there, they'll chat to you, and then they'll send you the registration forms, and then you just join like that. And then what you do is, whenever you've got a product to sell or a product to get out there, we do so for you. You know, we organize that, we showcase it on our Facebook page so that the world knows about it. And then South African Tourism also assists in this regard. Department of Tourism also assists in this regard. So yeah, just register at your nearest branch.
Now, we cannot let you go without some travel tips. Which top three places would you recommend for young travelers looking to tour South Africa on a budget, the gems that not everyone goes to?
Yeah, that's exciting. That's the most exciting part. You know what? I have to promote my province as well, the Northwest Province. Come to Northwest Province. Come and see 10 Flags. We've got the new outdoor center here in Rustenburg, just outside Rustenburg, where you can do ice skating, quad biking, go-karting, all these nice activities. It's new, you know, and they've got nice restaurants there where you can sit and chill. Literally, you can just pop there in the morning. You can leave late at night. There's lots to do. And I would also say I did the West Coast tour with South African Tourism last year. Or was it early this year? Yeah, sometime there. The tour was fantastic. You know, have you ever had gin with tea? You know, you do such, and I'm sure the youth out there would love such. We did gin and tea pairing, and we went to this place. It's called Maize Boss Garib, the seafood chisanyama. You know, that place, it's like just by the ocean, beautiful. We did sandboarding, we did quad biking there, amazing. And then Clarence as well, guys. Clarence, oh my God, no, and the Eastern Cape, hole in the wall, Coffee Bay, kayaking. There's lots to do in South Africa, guys. Our country is beautiful. You know, let's take those short lifts.
Where can our listeners find you and your company?
Great, you can find me on all social media platforms. I've got a YouTube channel where I showcase all the hidden gems and products in South Africa where I go, because I do my tours a lot of times. So on my YouTube channel, Travel with Fifi. Instagram, you can also find me as Travel with Fifi or the main company, Talera Tours. Facebook, Refile Tladi or Talera Tours, Shuttles and Safaris. On Twitter as well, Travel with Fifi.
And that was Refilwe Tladi, a tour operator who runs her own tour operations business, sharing with us how she has survived the pandemic and what she sees the future to be like. Thank you so much, Refilwe, for joining us here on the COVID Report. Now, we are joined by Lebogang Molefe from Mukhwase Guest House, sharing with us how he has survived the pandemic and what he sees the future to be like. Thank you so much, Molefe, for joining us here on the COVID Report. Now, you run a 10-bedroom bed and breakfast near Sun City and the Pilansberg Nature Park. Tell us how the COVID-19 pandemic and associated lockdowns have affected your business and how you have survived.
Thank you for having me. It has been quite a very difficult situation. It is our first experience of this nature, and the COVID-19 has really affected us quite adversely, in a sense that our business is linked to the performance of the National Park and Sun City Resort. Once Sun City was closed down, we all were bound to close down because of the relations that, are between us and the resort.
Now, how many people work at your guest house, and were you able to retain them during this time?
We have about 6 permanent staff members, and during this period, we managed to retain all of them, all thanks to the UIF payment system that was specially arranged for COVID-19. While that scheme has come to an end now, we are not certain as to how business is going to unfold going forward, and if we are going to be able to proceed as we were before. We might have to juggle around and change things on the basis of how we're operating so that we are able to bring the business back to life again, because as at this current moment, we are trading at about 10%, because I think the people still have the fear. People have been, some people have been laid off. There's a lot of cancellations. Some people have lost their jobs. They've lost their income. So it is going to be difficult to say what is going to happen with the staff members going forward, but we will do our best to try and make sure that we retain as many as possible.
Now, you've mentioned that your employees benefited from the UIF, but were you as a company able to apply for the COVID-19 business support for your guest house, and how did that work out?
Look, it was impractical for us to access the COVID-19 funding because of the cumbersome conditions that were laid down by the Department of Tourism. For starters, we require to have the financials and the projections submitted as part of the qualification criteria. At that point, the accountants and all the bookkeepers who were assisting us were unavailable to help us with the documents that were required. So we did not even apply, because on the basis of the qualification criteria, we could see that some of the documents would not be there and would not be able to qualify. I tried reaching out to a number of service providers if they could assist, but everyone was on lockdown, so it was just not possible.
Now that we are on lockdown level 2 and people are able to travel out of their provinces, how has business been like for you, and have you seen a change?
The previous weekend was the first weekend that we have been on lockdown level 2. There has been a bit of change. We were fully booked for the weekend, but I'm not certain if I should attribute the bookings to the level 2 lockdown level, or if it is people who had come to quite a number of funerals that were in the area. So it is quite a bit too early to can assess and come out with the valid opinion on whether the lockdown level 2 is going to be of advantage to us. What I am certain about is that, you know, we are into spring now. If Sun City is able to operate and the recreational facilities there are able to accommodate more than 50 people as it normally is, then I am certain that we would be able to fully operate.
And when you are operational, how do you ensure the health and safety of your guests during their stay at your guest house during this pandemic?
We are in alignment with the regulations that are issued by the Department of Tourism nationally and the Department of Health. So we are fully compliant with those conditions. Despite them being quite costly for us, because you can imagine if you check in today and you check out after 2 days, the room is supposed to be disinfected. It is a cost to us, and the people don't really have the money at the moment. You can't put the cost to the customer. You have to absorb the cost yourself, which means people expect the lower rates and a better service. So we are trying to juggle between, you know, retaining a proper hygienic standard, because you can't risk the people's lives, and also making a little bit of money. So we are looking at making as little as we can until everything is able to return back to normal.
Now, considering all that you have said and the potential costs, do you believe that government considered the tourism industry in the regulations, and how else could they have better managed the situation?
In my view, there is no easy way for us or for government to balance in our favor. We have a pandemic, there's a reality. The government has got the responsibility of saving lives. We as entrepreneurs also have a responsibility of ensuring that the people's lives are safe. So, despite what we wish for, the reality dictates differently. Let me give you an example. Sun City's main attraction during this period is the Valley of Waves. The cost of running the Valley of Waves is far beyond the 50 heads that are allowed. So it is cost effective for them to keep it closed. If they keep it closed, it means the people who would be coming to us would not be able to come, because there won't be any entertainment for them outside the guest house. There's no one who wants to come to the guest house and stay at the guest house for the rest of the weekend. So if the government allows, let's say, more than 50 people to go into the water facilities, and there's a second wave of the of COVID-19, the blame goes to government. So it is quite a catch-22 situation. I think to an extent, it was thought out well in the interest, weighing mainly on the interest of ensuring that people's lives are saved. But when it comes to the question of us bearing the cost, I think the government could have done better. I mean, there are some agencies that are responsible for tourism that could be assisting especially small businesses with non-monetary services. You know, we should cover fumigation, you know, we should cover disinfection of the rooms. The regulations can be altered, but if there could be support that we are able to see some of the cost cut, it would really assist.
And speaking more on the tourism industry, would you say that the coronavirus pandemic has changed how you see what you do and the industry as a whole?
To a great extent, I think the viruses will enhance the way we have been doing things and the way we are supposed to be doing things in the sense of health practices, hygienic methods, because the customer's focus now is going to be whether the place that they are getting into is sufficiently hygienic, it is sufficiently clean. So on the positive, it will push our standards to a higher level. So I choose to view it from an optimistic point of view, that it will assist in that sense. On the other side, the general outlook, I think people are able to adjust. It is going to be difficult at the beginning of the resumption of business for people to be comfortable to come to the facilities. But as time goes, I think it will get back to normal and we will survive.
And in speaking of survival, what is your establishment doing to encourage local tourism as the country remains closed for international travelers?
We have formed an association with the people who are into transport, who are into tours, who are into camping. We call it the Northwest Tourism Owner Support Base, where we are putting packages together that are able to help us help each other so that we encourage. You know, Pilanesberg is one of the national parks that are just around us. We are putting up packages that are also encouraging people to go into the park and use us for accommodation. So we are putting together packages that are affordable and that are also encouraging people who are within accessible vicinity to be able to access our services, obviously within reasonable means.
You have mentioned that you are now establishing packages that work with in unison, making sure that we all help each other. Do you have any key recommendation for our listeners? And how are some of your packages looking?
Okay. Instead of offering accommodation alone from as a guest house, we have a package in which we include taking guests into the national park. We have somehow reduced the cost of accommodation so that we are able to cover the access fee into the park for the guests, so that the accommodation part of things becomes attractive in the sense that there is a link to some entertainment that is outside the guest house. And we have also communicated to our colleagues in the transport industry to be able to pick up the guests from our facilities, take them into the park, you know, just so that there is meaning to why a person would go out. Because, like I mentioned earlier, there's no one who wants to go out and just stay, you know, in a room for the whole period. You know, it would be the same as being quarantined for COVID-19.
And no, we are definitely tired of doing that. So lastly, Mulife, do you see the industry fully recovering? And how long do you think it will take? Or at least for your business, how long do you think recovery will take?
I think within a year or two, we would be able to fully recover if we would not experience something else as drastic as what you have experienced at current. You know, from September to the end of January, the other thing that is going to complicate things is that a lot of our bookings are linked to the school holidays. The school calendar is seemingly going to be altered, which is also going to change how things have been happening traditionally. So September is quite an exciting period in our area because of the, you know, the Valley of Waves, the water sports, the outdoor life in the park. So we'll be able to observe within the next 3 months as to what the trend is going to be like. I can safely tell you that for the past 8 years that we've been in operation, December has always been fully booked at 100%. And I can see now some of the people who had earlier effected cancellations for the period of for the festive period are beginning to slowly trickle back in. So there's a chance for recovery depending on what recreational possibilities are going to be available to the guests.
That was Lebogang Molefe from Mogwase Guest House sharing with us how he is surviving the pandemic and how his guest house has made it through. Before that, we were joined by Rufilwe Tladi, a tour operator who runs her own tour operations business, sharing with us some of her plans post-COVID-19.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1. Or stream by www.vofm.co.za.